Turn, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just for a short word of prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already this morning. Lord, intensify that sense of Thy presence, O God, as we wait further around Thy Word. Take away every distracting thought and every distracting care, and bring our hearts and our minds into captivity to the will of God, to the mind of Christ, that we might hear with gladness in our hearts what God the Lord would say. Speak to my heart, speak to every heart and soul in this meeting, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. Have a word in season, we pray. Break the bread of life to us. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Lead and guide and direct and apply Thy Word, Lord, to every heart as Thou would see the need, to the saving of souls, to the strengthening of Thy people in their faith, to the glorifying of Christ. Answer prayer to this end, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today that we want to look at with you is the verse number 14. Of Psalm 145. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." The hymn writer Joseph Scriven said, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord and prayer." And such words remind us that the Lord is the one who helps those in need, those in trouble. And now the psalmist David reminds us of the same wonderful truth in the words of our text this morning here in verse 14 of this great psalm before us. When he says, "There the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." In the psalm, David is praising God. It has been said that this psalm is his crown jewel of praise. And this praise was due to the experience of God in the heart and the life of the psalmist David himself. It arose from a heart that was sincere in the things of God. It arose from a heart that was thoughtful about God, who thought much upon the Lord. It arose from a heart that was full of love and full of devotion to Christ. If you look at the psalm there in the first 7 verses, you'll see how David praises God for His glory. Look at what he says in verse 3. He says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Verses 8 to 10 of the psalm, he praises God there for His goodness. Look at what he says in verse 9. He says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Verses 11 through to 13, he praises God there for His kingdom. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." Go down to verses 14 and to 16, he praises God there for His providence. He says there in verse 15 about God's creation, "These all eyes of all wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give us them their meat in due season." And then in the latter part of the psalm, he praises God for His saving mercy. Look at what he says in verse 19 of the psalm. He says, "He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." What a psalm of praise is before the reader here in these words. My, it is in the midst of David's praise to God for His providence that we find the words of our text when he says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." Now if you look there at verse 14, you'll see that it is a verse that really highlights God's condescension to His people. And you see that very clear when you contrast what is said there in verse 14 with the preceding verse, verse 15, that speaks to us about the greatness of God. It says there, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The eternal God, yet the same God, stoops in verse 14, as it says, to help those who are poor and needy. There you see the condescension of our God, of our Lord, and of our Savior. And people, it is this wonderful record of divine help for the poor and needy that I want us to consider this morning. As we look at this great truth, may every believer in this meeting this morning be encouraged to go on with God. And maybe you're still an unbeliever in our meeting this morning. May you also be encouraged today to trust in Christ for your salvation. For friend, except you have a personal, saving, experimental trust in Christ as your Savior, then you're still today lost in your sins, still separated from God, and bound for a lost eternity in hell. And how, if you're unsaved today, you need to trust Christ to be saved and to be ready for heaven and for the great eternity of God. Notice first of all with me here in this verse the description of those who are poor and needy. In verse 14, David says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You'll see there in the verse the poor and needy are described as those who fall. They're also described as those who are bowed down. And dear people, in the social affairs of life, my, there are many of God's people. And my, they fall. They are bowed down through circumstances in life. Circumstances in life change. And they become bowed down in life. They are, as it were, fall under the weight of those circumstances. You think of Job and the Old Testament. He had that experience. Through circumstances outside of himself, a time came in Job's life when he was left with nothing. And he had to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Also we can say this morning that in intellectual and indeed in mental matters, God's people also can become bowed down. They can become, as it were, ready to fall. And that can happen maybe through the pressures of life coming in upon them. Maybe in education or in the home. In the family, in the business, even in God's work itself, that can happen. The child of God might happen to Elijah, the prophet of God in a bygone era. By the pressures of life, he was in the verge, the Bible tells us, of a mental breakdown. In fact, he wished that God would take away his own life. You turn in your Bible back to 1 Kings in the chapter 19 and the verse number 4, you'll see that. What the Bible says there about Elijah, the man who prior to this had slain the prophets of Baal. Yet here he is at wit's end corner, so to speak, on the verge of a breakdown, wishing that God would take the very breath from his body. Look at verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 19. Here you have Elijah, and it says, and he's running from Jezebel. And it says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And that all happened through the pressures of life. Coming in upon the heart and the mind of God's servant Elijah of old. Also, we can say this morning as well that in the physical realm, my, God's people can become bowed down. God's people can become prone to fall, maybe through sickness, through ill health, through old age, through accident, through sorrow. Old Bishop Ryle said, sickness is the great leveler. It affects all, no matter who they are. You read in the New Testament about a fellow servant with Paul by the name of Trophimus. A saved man, a faithful servant in the work of God with Paul. Yet he had this experience of being bowed down through sickness. My, Paul writes of him as he writes his second letter to Timothy, and this is what he says. He says, Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick?
He was led aside from the work of God through sickness, through infirmity, through ill health. It came upon him. Then we can also say this morning that as well in spiritual matters, through the attack of the world, the flesh and the devil, yes, God's people can be lured into sin, into bypath meadow, into backsliding. And when that happens, they fall spiritually. When that happens, they become bowed down. That happened to David, the very man who wrote this psalm. Remember how he committed that awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba? And then in his efforts to cover up his sin, he planned the murder of her husband, Uriah. And speaking of that whole incident in his own life and the effect of it, this is what he said in Psalm 116. He says, I was brought low. And my sin always brings a person low, down in life. I wonder this morning, are these fallen ones, those that are bowed down that David thinks of and speaks of in our text? I wonder, is this a picture of one in our meeting this morning? Am I speaking to one today and you're poor and needy before the Lord? Maybe by the circumstances of life, things have changed in your life. They're not as they once were. Maybe by the pressures of life coming in upon you today, you're at the end of yourself, so to speak. Maybe there's been, your life has been affected through sickness or accident or ill health or through sorrow. Or maybe in recent times the world and the flesh and the devil have been having a real go at you, seeking to bring you down as a Christian, as a child of God. Oh dear believer, let me say to you this morning that this is your condition today. You see yourself as one as poor and needy before the Lord. Then, dear soul, let me say to you today, God has a word for you. A beautiful word of encouragement for your soul today, and is found in the words of our text. When David says here, the Lord uphold of all that fall, and the Lord uphold of all those that be bowed down. Yes, we see here in our text this morning the description of those who are bowed down, those that are poor and needy, those that are fallen, those that are bowed down with the weights and the burdens of life. Is that a picture of you in the meeting this morning? God has a word for you. Notice secondly here from our text this morning, the helper of those who are poor and needy. For look at what David says in our text. He says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You notice there that the Lord is the helper of those who fall. The Lord is the helper of those who are bowed down, of those who are poor and needy in life circumstances. It was Martin Luther who said that Christ is the King for the afflicted, the poor, and the fallen. Someone else has once said that the poor, the feeble, the self-diffident, that's those that have no confidence in themselves, the bruised, the oppressed, the downtrodden, have an unfailing friend in God. Friends, that's true. That's what David is setting before you here in our text. For he says, the Lord uphold of all that fall and raise up all those that be bowed down. You look at the verse there before you this morning, you'll see here the Lord's help is far-reaching. You notice there in that little verse the double mention of the little word all. Notice what David says. He says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord raiseth up, notice it, all those that be bowed down. Child of God, this morning you may be bowed down low with the knocks and the pressures of life coming in upon you. You may be mocked and scorned as a Christian, maybe even cast off by others. But I tell you this, the Lord will not cast you off. Turn over to the next psalm or two, over to Psalm 147. And look at these tremendous words in verse 2 of that psalm. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. And look at these tremendous words. And he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel, those whom the world esteems, those whom the world knocks and classes, as it were, as outcasts, says the Lord, gathereth them up. Child of God, the Lord is concerned about you in this meeting this morning, whatever your state is,
Whatever your difficulty, your problem, your burden of life might be, the Lord is concerned for you. The Lord is time for you. Oh, surely that is why the hymn writer could speak of Christ and say, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He knew the friendship of Christ. This help is far-reaching. It goes out to all who are bowed down. It goes out to all who have fallen. But notice something else here. The Lord's help is altogether sufficient. You look at that word Lord there in our text, it's spelt in capital letters. And here the psalmist is speaking about Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the one who is in covenant with his people. And the Lord here of verse 14 is the same Lord whom David is describing for us in the rest of the psalm. And how does he describe the Lord in the remainder of the psalm? Well, you look at verse 3 of the psalm. He describes him there as one who is great. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Look at the next verse, verse 4. He describes him as one who is mighty. He says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare, notice it, thy mighty acts. Look at the next verse, verse 5. He describes him as one who does wonders. He says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Go down to verse 13. He speaks of the fact there the Lord is eternal, that he is unchanging. He says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on. Look at verse 17. He describes him as holy. He says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Look at verse 18, he describes the Lord as being near his people. He says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. What a promise. And he describes him as one who answers the prayers of his people. Look at verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. And then in the beginning of verse number 20, you'll see there that he describes the Lord as the keeper of his people. He says, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. But there's one other thing as well he says about God. Look at the latter part of verse 20. He's the one that puts down the wicked, the ungodly, the enemies of God's people in the church of Christ. He says, but all the wicked will he destroy. Oh, Christian, this morning, what a help you have in the Lord. There's no other helper like the Lord. One with God is a majority. My, that is true. Christian, no matter how far down you may have fallen today, I tell you this, the Lord can lift you up. Remember what Hannah said of the Lord? He lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill. No matter how far down you've fallen, no matter how heavy the weight is, the Lord can lift you up. Christian, no matter how severe the trial, the testing, the temptation, the Lord can keep you. Remember what Jude said in verse 34 of the little book of Jude. He says of the Lord, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Christian, no matter how heavy the burden, the Lord can give you grace to carry that burden in your life. Turn back to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Look with me at what it says there in verse 22 of that psalm. Psalm 55, verse 22. Notice what the Lord says to you, Christian, under the burdens of life, bearing the heat of the day, facing the battle, going through the trial. He says, cast thy burden, whatever your burden is today, whatever your trial is, whatever your fear is, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a promise. Christian, is there a burden pressing upon your heart today, upon your mind, upon your soul, upon circumstances, maybe in your home, your family, your work, something else that affects you out in the community, God's work even? Cast that burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He'll give you grace to carry the burden. to go through the storm. Oh, believer, what a wonderful Savior you have in Christ. Think of the words of Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer who was blinded shortly after her birth as a little child. Yet what did she say of Christ? What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. She knew the sweetness of Christ being her helper and being her strength. This help is far-reaching. Yes, this help of the Lord is altogether sufficient. But notice something else just from the words in our text this morning. Notice that this help is continuous. You look at the word there, upholdeth, and the little phrase, raiseth up. David says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. In the original language of the Old Testament, that phrase there, upholdeth and raiseth up, the thought is there that the Lord is one who is continually propping up his people in life. No matter how severe the trial may be, the thought is there of the Lord holding up his people continually, day by day, moment by moment. The thought is there that the Lord is one who continually gives strength to his people day by day, no matter how heavy or severe the trial may be, it's continuous. It's not just for a little moment or two. But my, it is present and it is continuous all the days of the life of the believer. Child of God, remember the tremendous promise that the Lord gave to the tribe of Asher in the Old Testament. He said this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Incidentally, the name Asher means happy. And surely the tribe of Asher would have been tremendously happy with that great promise that in accordance with all their days, God says, so shall your strength be. O believer in the meeting this morning, let me say this, and the word of God tells you this. The Lord props you up. The Lord upholds you. He carries you. He strengthens you. From the very day you're born, indeed from the very moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, right until the very time you're taken into heaven, into glory itself. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 46, and you'll see this for yourself. Look at verse 3 and verse number 4 of Isaiah chapter 46. And here the Lord is speaking to you, dear Christian, in the meeting this morning. You who are bowed down, you who maybe been feeling knocks in life, what a promise. He says in verse 3 and verse 4, he says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. What a promise from the Lord. Oh, Christian, what a help you have today in the Lord. Yes, we see the description of those who are poor and needy. They're fallen, they're bowed down. We see the helper of the poor and needy is none other than the Lord himself, the Lord of glory. There's something else here to notice just in connection with our text this morning. What is the reason behind the Lord helping those who are poor and needy, those who are fallen, those who are bowed down? What's the reason for it all? Have you ever thought about that, dear Christian? You know, there's only one reason. Summed up really in four words. God's love and grace. That's how you explain this help. God's love, God's grace. What does the Bible say of the Lord, dear Christian? It says, God is love. If you look at the Psalm, look at verses 8 and 9, you'll see that David there is focusing upon the love of God to his people, to the grace and the mercy of God to his people. He says, the Lord there in verse 8 of the Psalm is gracious. Notice the words he uses. He just doesn't say he has compassion, but he says he is full of compassion, slow to anger, and of a great mercy. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. How good is the God we adore, the hymn writer says, our faithful and our unchangeable friend. Dear people of God, my, there was not one spark of goodness in you and I and in our nature to commend the Lord's grace or to commend the Lord's favor.
You and I were born into this world, the Bible says, sinners by nature and sinners by practice. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. My, our sins have grieved God 1,000 times over, yes, times without number. Think of how it was in the day of Noah with man's sin, it says, and it grieved him at his heart. And my, all our sins and our iniquities from the day we were born has grieved God 1,000 times over. Our sins deserve the judgment of God in hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Yet how has God dealt with us as His people? My God has saved us by His grace from our sins through the redeeming work of Christ. As the Bible says, we have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, dear Christian, if you and I are honest this morning, since the day we were saved, we've failed the Lord many, many times. Yes, we must say with Paul, the good that I would, I do not. Yet in spite of our failings, the Lord has not failed us. The Bible says He faileth not. Dear Christian, my, when you've fallen, the Lord has upheld you. When you've been bowed down, the Lord has raised you up. This is our testimony today. And it's all due to the love of God. All due to the grace of God. All due to the mercy of God toward us in Christ. Yes, we must say with old John Newton of old, to His grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. There's not one spark in you and I put together to commend God's grace, God's love and mercy. Yet, in spite of ourselves, God has been gracious. When we've been bowed down, He's lifted us up. When we've fallen, He's come alongside and He's held us by the hand. But finally this morning, dear people, what should be the response of the poor and needy to the Lord's help? What should be your response, Christian, to the Lord's help in your life? Well, Christian, dearly, you and I should just thank God for His help. The Bible says, be ye thankful unto God. In your prayers, Christian, you should thank the Lord. In your praise, you should sing with thanksgiving unto the Lord. The old hymn writer says, have you taken time today to thank the Lord? I wonder you this morning, Christian, when you get up, did you just thank God for health and strength to come to God's house to worship God and to meet with around God's Word? When you get up on a Monday morning, go about your work, your business, do you thank the Lord? We're to be a thankful people. Also, dear Christian, you should imitate the Lord's example. The Bible says when we're saved, that we're saved unto good works. When we're saved, our lives are to be marked by good works. Turn over there to Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 10. Notice what Paul says there to the Christian. He says, as we have opportunity, notice and let us do good unto all men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Oh, Christian, as opportunity comes your way in life, you be sure and help the fallen. You be sure and lift up those that are bowed down. For has not the Lord lifted you up? Has the Lord not cheered you when you've fallen by the way? Treat others as the Lord has treated you. We're to imitate the Lord's example. Also, dear people of God, in light of the Lord's blessing to us, dear people, we should make known His grace to others. Believer, as you go about your life, maybe in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, tell others about the Lord. Tell others what the Lord has done for you. Tell others what the Lord is doing for you. Think of what David said in Psalm 66 in the verse 16. He says there, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Tell me, Christian, when did you last speak to somebody about the Lord and tell them what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord is doing for you? When did you last share a word of testimony with someone that you meet with day by day? And also, dear people of God, we should seek to trust the Lord more. What does Solomon say? He says, trust in the Lord. David in Psalm 34 says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. God blesses those who trust Him in every circumstance of life. And I tell you this, Christian, in God's work, as you trust Him, God will help you. His promise is, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. In times of fear, Christian, you can trust Him. The psalmist says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Dear believer, in every circumstance of life, be it sickness, be it sorrow, be it loss, be it problems in the home, the family, the business, the work, whatever, Christian, you can trust the Lord. What does it say in Psalm 62, verse 8? It says, trust in Him at all times. Not just when you're on the mountaintop, but when you're down in the valley. You can trust the Lord. And also, child of God, in times maybe of carelessness or coldness or backsliding, you can trust the Lord for restoration. The Lord says, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. That's what David did in Psalm 51. He prayed, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And the Lord restored him. The Lord used him. Oh, as the hymn writer says, dear Christian, oh, for grace to trust him more. The Lord says, have faith in God. Christian, you and I don't know what today will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. But whatever it brings, let us be those who trust in the Lord. Let us be those who tell others about the Lord. Let us be those who imitate the Lord. Let us be those who day by day give thanks to the Lord. And maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're still unsaved. Down in sin, under the burden of sin. Friend, through Christ, through His sacrifice, you can be saved. If you come by faith to Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins to Christ, and come to Him and trust Him, He'll forgive all your sins. He'll lift away the burden of sin. He'll make you a child of God. He will bring you into God's heaven, into God's kingdom. Turn over there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Look at that tremendous promise of Christ at the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 11. Unsaved friend, this is a promise for you. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. If you come to Christ and you trust Him, He will pardon all your iniquities. He will give rest to your soul. And one day He'll bring you into the eternal rest of heaven. Think of these tremendous words today. The Lord upholdeth all that fall. He raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Whatever your need is today, the Lord can meet you at the point of your need. Christian, He can help you. He can bless you. Unsaved, He can save you forever and ever. Wash you and make you clean. Pardon your sins. Give you life abundant. Give you life eternal. We're just going.